Accession number 21020, real 4.
Trevor Matalas, real 4. So how dangerous did you feel the Mau Mau were?
Well, as I was about to say, the Mau Mau, if you could recognise one or come up against one, they either carried a makeshift rifle, what they made themselves somehow. They make their own rifle, they do, out of bamboo or one way or another. Or sometimes some of them had bows and arrows as well. Anyway, they'd have what most Africans have, or most families have as well, is a panga, what they call a panga. And that was where the damage was done, with the pangas. Because they used to chop the legs off of the cattle and that. And I never come up against any severe cases with the Mau Mau. My duty was mainly looking after my own soldiers. We sent our own medical orderlies up the mountain. We had about 6 medical orderlies outside of the main medical orderly. We had 2 for each company, if you understand what I mean. And they used to go out and every time a patrol went out, they probably sent a medical orderly with them in case he was needed. They were only riflemen, they were, the orderlies were. But, like I say, and then I was the next rank, which I became a full corporal, but not long after I got out there, I made a full corporal, because I was a lance corporal when I left Germany to go to Kenya. And then they made me up to full corporal in the medical centre, and because I had experience of... when I came out of the army on both occasions, I had exemplary. Exemplary is good, that is. And you can't have better, really, I suppose, from other ranks above who gave me those exemplaries. I was always good at catching on to doing things. But I was never really good at education, really. That was my bad thing. I went through a course on education in Germany, though, before I went out to Kenya.
When you were in Kenya, yeah. Did penicillin have any effect on the syphilis and gonorrhea?
Yes, that was. That's what correct. But now, you see, that's being used so much now that there's other drugs coming along and you don't know if one is interacting the other, so affecting the other. But penicillin was the finest thing come out, to my mind. That was.
Were the soldiers punished for contracting?
Oh, yes, yes, they had what they call, well, it's left me now, can't be what you want. Jankers, what they call jankers, but you had jankers in the camp. But now, in Germany, when they got them in Germany, when I was in Germany, if anyone got jankers in Germany, I was in the medical centre then that first 18 months in Germany, in the second last service I'm talking about. We had our own guard room. We had a guard room where all the people were in our guard room prisons. And every night they had to be inspected by the duty officer. They had to come out outside the camp and dress up with all the kit and that outside the guard room and be inspected by the duty officer. And once the duty officer inspected them, I used to get allowed, being in the medical centre. I used to sleep in the medical centre as well in Germany as well, and I used to be allocated about 3 men, sometimes 4 men from the guard room to come up and clean the, because that used to be polished floors then, you see, in Germany, the medical centre was nice and clean, and and they used to come as well early in the morning as well, the following morning, they'd come again in the morning.
Can I go back to the Second World War, because you said that apart from being a brain gunner, you also had a sniper's rifle.
I had a sniper's rifle, but very rarely used.
Did you go out sniping?
Not really, no. I carried it with me in case I was in my half-track. We had a half-track, you see, which I've got a photograph of that as well here.
Why did you not go out as a sniper?
Well, there was never an occasion where that was needed.
Also, going back to that job you had near Cambridge in the war cemetery,
yeah.
Did you have protective clothing to...
Well, yes, we did. We had waterproofs and the whole sort of thing, type of water. They were black in that, if I remember. They were black, and leggings and whatnot, and water boots and that sort of thing. We had to get into the grave. Well, what happened? What do you see? They had diggers to take all the topsoil off. They buried them in rows, you know, in rows, and the diggers, the JCBs as they were in those days, used to go right down one row and dig up all the topsoil and put it over where they'd already dug one row up. They'd put the soil from one lot over to the next lot and fill up the holes what they'd already opened up and taken the graves out, people out. And that's all, they're shifting it over, like double digging later on, I mean, taking the soil out there, putting it in the net, empty hole. And once the top soil was all off, and more often than not, the digger used to break the coffins up anyhow, when they got to the level of where the coffins were. And then when the coffins were, they were flooded anyhow. And we had to get the wood out, or we had to get whatever we could find in the hole. And put them in a white sheet, in a white, like a bed sheet, proper bed sheet, put them in a bed sheet, put them on a specially sort of truck what we had for this occasion, take them up to the morgue, which is a big old morgue, big Nishina that was, a large one, and there was over 20 embalmers, 20 American, I don't know whether you call them doctors or what they were. They were embalmers, but we had a group of men, you do nothing at all. We used to change our jobs round a bit, so we weren't doing the same job all the time. I'd done probably two or three days in the trench, taking them out and putting them on the trolleys to take them up to the Nishina. And then another couple of days I'd be up there and I might be hosing them down, taking the uniforms on, what they were buried in. And then they put all new uniforms on them again, with the medals and everything, or with the ribbons and everything, nothing. And then there were stillborns, women as well, women for the wax, what they call wax, who were American women, who got died in probably America, in London, in the wet raids in London. Stillborns, young women who had stillborns. All sorts, and the stillborns were put in the jars with spirits to preserve them, and like I say, and then they were, once they were all got new uniforms on, they were put in a bronze coffin. They looked like bronze coffins. They did, and they were then taken by transport to the railhead. There was a railhead in there, Cambridge. And they all went on a train particular train, and all went from there, I think, to Southampton or somewhere, and then they went out to America, back to their original homes where they lived.
Did you have to wear some kind of gloves?
Yes, I had long rubber gloves, about that long. I had thin gloves inside, and then the heavy ones on the outside.
Did you catch any?
But I tell you what, I didn't have. Although in the army, I got information about that. When I was in the army, I had all my injections while I was in the army. So whether that helped me along, because when I came out, they never gave me an injection to do the job against any typhoid or anything like that.
Did you catch any disease?
No, I didn't actually. No.
How did you feel about doing the job?
Well, I only liked doing the job because I knew that was a job where I had a job of work, and I was earning a certain amount of wages. And I was able to look after my wife. I was sending some money home from Cambridge to my wife, my first wife, and she was using it for this other bloke, as far as I can gather.
How much were you being paid, do you think?
Well, that wasn't a lot. I suppose if I got about £2 a week, I was lucky. £2 a week, yeah, but I couldn't have been much more, anyhow.